This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Casey Chang, the Chief Financial Officer for the flour and poultry firm Malayan Flour Mills, is with me on the grill this morning. Casey, welcome to the show. Now, I understand 2018 was quite a challenging year for you in terms of your earnings. You've described the situation last year as a perfect storm of labour conditions, of, incorrect poultry feed that you bought, and of course, prices went the wrong direction. You are right now five days away from closing your rights issue, which is essentially a cash call on existing shareholders to raise up to 275 million ringgit to pay for a whole bunch of capital expenditure heavy items, including upgrading your facilities and paying off existing debt. How is that rights issue going, Casey?
Thank you, Chang, for having me here this morning. As you mentioned, rightly mentioned earlier on, we are just 5 days away from concluding this. At this stand, I'm actually very confident that we are going to actually be able to raise the minimum amount of 220 million. In fact, I think it's probably going to be closer to 275 million ringgit, which is actually the maximum amount. Why I'm very confident about 220 million is because we have undertaking from the major shareholder, and then we have got investment banker to underwrite the exercise. So 220 is, for that variable, I think it's probably in the bag already. So it's just a matter of how far can we stretch. My bet is that it's probably going to be closer to 275 million.
Okay, well, the funds might be in the bag, but according to the way the market activity has been showing, I understand the take-up rate from shareholders has been quite poor. Other than the two major owners that you mentioned, both the chairman and the managing director, I think they combined account for about 60 million ringgit, which is about roughly a quarter of the money you need. The rest of the existing shareholder role have not necessarily subscribed as at to date. I know they've got five more days to go. I know that Malaysians typically wait until the last minute, but it must be quite pressuring times for yourself as chief financial officer, because it does show that your existing shareholders might not necessarily buy into your CapEx activities and your expansion plans.
Right. Now, The way I actually look at this is if we look at the ordinary rights that's being traded in the 5 day trading period, the volume being traded is probably closer to about 90 million being traded. So what this means is that a substantial amount of shareholder who decided existing shareholder who decide they don't want to actually come to cash, they will actually trade it in the open market. And for people who are picking up the ordinary rights and the loan right, they are fully aware of the requirement, which is on the 14th of January, they actually need to come up with cash to actually subscribe to the right. So I choose to believe that the investor who is buying the OR and the LR know what's coming, and hence they are actually buying, prepare to actually subscribe. So therein lie my confidence, to be honest, to get to closer to 275 million.
Okay, so to reiterate here, Casey, now you are going to raise as little as 225 or as high as much as 275. And what this basically means is that you're going to have the money to pay for expansion of capacity in your broiler segment. You're going to expand capacity in your broiler processing segment. You're going to be building a new byproduct processing plant. You're going to be building a new aqua feed milling plant. And you're going to be extending your existing jetty and upgrading your ship uploaders in Lumut Perak. If your existing shareholders don't all necessarily sign up for this cash call, and if you have to deploy underwriters' funds to pay for this capex, you've got three underwriters. One of them is Hong Leong, the other one is Kef Seagroad, I think, and your third is Afen Huang Investment. What does this mean for the bottom line in terms of having to pay your bankers to underwrite this this fundraising rather than it coming from shareholders? Is there a financial repercussion from this?
There is none, because we actually pay for the underwriting fees, at a pre-agreed rate much earlier on at the start of the exercise. So there won't be any additional cost involved for the underwriting, because the underwriting fees is actually, pre-agreed already.
Is there a moratorium on the shares that they pick up eventually after the conversion takes place?
Well, what happened is that you know, if we really need to go there, the underwriter will actually have to hold it for a while, and then when the market improves, then...
What is the period?
There is no moratorium as far as I can recall.
Okay, so potentially they could, worst case scenario, grey skies, black skies, storm clouds brewing, dump it.
I don't believe they will do that, simply because if you look at the some of the analysts, I think Hong Leong actually came up with a report just about a week ago. What happened is that the share price right now has been way undervalued, right? The you guys can actually pick up the report by Hong Leong. I think the fair value of the share is about 72 cents. And if you look at our NTA, Net Tangible Asset, as at the end of Q3, our NTA stand at 140, right? Even after the right issue has been concluded, with the expansion of the share base, the NTA is going to adjust to about 86 cents. Sorry, so 86 cents compared to where we end, the trading yesterday at 48 cents. There's still a lot of value to be unlocked, and what happened is also we have to understand that. At the current price, if the results start turning around, what is going to happen is that the dividend yield is going to be very attractive, right? Assuming we are able to actually get back to our historical PBT. I don't think the probability of the shareholder dumping it is there, because this is really a long-term play. And to be honest, right, Malayan Framil has been in this business for over 60 years. We have, and we being in the food industry, we are responsible to actually feed Malaysian, right? Just for context, a Malaysian consumes about 40 kg of flour per cap per year. And Malaysian consumes about over 50 kg of chicken meat per cap per year. That is combined about 90 kg of food that we produce. So that's the context. And, food sector is a defensive sector. Good time, bad time, people will still need to consume. Right? In fact, if I look at it, there's a projection to say that Malaysia will actually, in terms of population, is going to grow to about 40 million by year 2050. Right? So there is a lot of opportunity for us to grow. And the fact is that Malaysia is actually among the top two poultry consumer in the world. I think it ranked probably about second or third in the world at 50 kg per pack.
Absolutely.
Per cap.
Absolutely. What you say is not incorrect, Casey. But when I look at your financials, 2018, when you made just over 5 million ringgit in income after tax, it was at least the worst financial performance on record since at least 2008, because the year before that you made 67 million ringgit, the year before that you made 81 million ringgit, and the year before that you made 21 million ringgit. You had, as you described to the star, a confluence, a perfect storm of factors that militated against your financial performance, one of which was the poultry virus infection. You bought a bunch of breeders that had the poultry virus, IBH, and that, of course, doubled your mortality rate to 7% from the usual 3%. And that also combined with the labour shortage that began in 2016 and that only finally got played out in 2017. So in terms of, comforting shareholders that 2019 will be a very different year altogether, what have you got to say about this?
Right. Let's first talk about 2018. Right. What happened is that 2018, there are really two, three issues that plagued us in 2018. The first half was really, the IPH issue. When we finally recover around August, September, what happened is that then the poultry price, the leopard price, actually start crashing down.
Was there a breakdown in quality control mechanisms? Because presumably before you bring in a batch of breeders, you would be vetting them for health and fit for purposeness.
What happened is that we try to, we have our own internal, what we call this, quality assurance process. But what happened is that, right now, if we look at our poultry business, we are not fully upstream yet, because in Malaysia, we only have the parent farm. What we don't have is the grandparent farm. So what we need to do is that we need to get our parent, day-old chick, from our supplier. And, in Malaysia, there are only probably two of them who are actually supplying the type of breed that we wanted, which is cob. the genetic come from the US. Inability to actually, go further upstream is probably exposed us to the risk in the value chain. What we will do is that in fact, we have been working on this for a couple of years already, is actually try to get the grandparent farm started in Malaysia. And we actually have got agreement with or understanding with COP of US, which is actually the genetic owner of the breed, to allow us to actually start a GP farm. The next thing that we need to do is actually secure the land, right? And after we got the land, then everything should be moved pretty fast. In terms of building the GP farm, the estimate is that it's probably going to cost between 20 to 30 million land and construction costs included. So that's not a massive investment. Why we need to invest in a GP farm? Because we are expanding into further downstream, our processing plant. We invested about 550 million in our processing plant. The existing plant is actually a 30-year-old facility. So we have maxed up capacity a couple of years ago. Right, so we have to actually turn away customer. There are customer coming with orders, but we have to turn away because we cannot slaughter enough of chicken. Just for context, today we slaughter about 80,000 birds a day, right? And that is actually our maximum capacity. The investment is to actually three times increase our capacity by three times to 240,000, and then that is going to give us a lot more. Flexibility in terms of deciding where we want to sell the chicken. We can actually pass everything through our processing plant without going to the live bird market, because the live bird market is actually volatile in terms of pricing. And that was what hurt us in Q3 of this year, because the live bird price crashed in Q3.
We're talking this morning to Casey Cheng, the Chief Financial Officer for the flour and poultry firm, Malayan Flour Mills. After this, we're going to come back and address the other issue that plagued you in 2018, which is labour, as well as drill down into individual businesses. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
We are talking to Casey Cheng, the CFO of the flour and poultry firm, Malayan Flour Mills, on the grill this morning. Now, the other factor that disrupted your business last year was a labour supply shortage. Now, you said this basic problem started in 2016. It was only basically played out in 2017. What was the core reason that you couldn't get the people that you needed, Casey?
Simply because in 2016, the government actually was really, crammed down on importation of foreign labour, right? So because of that, permit wasn't forthcoming. That's why it actually causes our inability to actually get the foreign labour in quick enough or early enough for us to actually train them. Because in the poultry business, what happened is that it's actually labour intensive, and the foreign labour that we bring in, we need time to actually train them to make sure they know what to do. For example, in the farmhouse, if they see the chicken is not eating, it's not feeding, it's really subdued, then they need to actually quickly inform our vet so that the vet can go in to check the chicken, what's going on. Because we have a really short cycle time in terms of breeding the broiler into a stage where we can store them. That's only about 35 days only. So from less than 10 grams of day-old chick, we need to grow them to about 2.2 kg in 35 days. That's a short period of time. So, and in the first 7 days, and the critical thing is actually within the first 7 days of the life cycle of the day-old chick, they need to gain weight by about 4.4 times. If they are not gaining that weight, right, then something needs to be done. In fact, someone needs to be in the farmhouse to actually monitor the progress on a day-to-day basis. So 7 days is the first very critical. And when the labour are not well-trained, that's where, things can go wrong. It can go very wrong very fast. Because we produce about 60 million chicken a year.
I'm talking this morning to Casey Cheng, the CFO of the flour and poultry firm, Malayan Flour Mills. Now, it does seem as if the two perfect factors that disrupted your business last year in terms of not spending enough money on your grandfather checks or the upstream portion, yeah, as well as the fact that you may not have reconfigured your business to take in more of a local workforce than depending on foreign labor, could have been avoided if you had taken these steps a bit earlier. Easier said than done, I know, because investment capital is selective, yeah, and follows the superior return, yeah, but they seem as if they could have been avoided with more foresight.
Everything with the balance of hindsight is actually perfect, but no one has perfect, foresight on that. What we are doing and what we have tried to do is that, you know, as you rightly pointed out, why don't we get locals? But the fact is that in the poultry industry, it's difficult to actually attract local.
Is it a salary thing? Is it a quantum of payment thing?
I think the salary, the compensation is probably just one element of that, because poultry done the traditional way is actually really require a lot of time. The worker need to stay in the farm during the cycle, particularly the first 7 days, right? It's really dirty also, because you are dealing with a lot of chicken dung. Just for perspective, we produce probably about 50 tons of chicken dung every day, right? It's actually not exactly clean. What we try to move away from is actually we try to innovate the way we actually go about animal farming.
Okay, Casey, now I'm not sure whether I heard you right or not. You've got to grow your chickens to, is it 4.5 kg or is it
2.2 kg in about 35 days.
You've got to get a chicken, a little chicklet, basically, for want of a better word, from that size to 2.2 kg within 35 days. Yep. Now, from a health and food perspective, is this unnatural state of growth unhealthy for the average Malaysian, in fact, any consumer?
Well, it's perfectly healthy, because what happened is that the reason why the chicken can grow so fast is because of the...
Is the chicken being force-fed? All kinds of it's not steroids bionic equipment so that they can supersize?
No force-feeding. What happened is that it's all about the genetic. What happened is that over the last couple of decades, the genetic owner, in this case, Cobb, right, actually have, tried to develop, the variant of Dale chick that is able to actually gain weight in a short period of time.
So that it's really about
protein input. It's about amino acid input.
Correct. So that particular breed of chick, which is Cobb, it's been genetically modified.
Well, it's not genetically modified. What happened is that it's just like human. As we progress, our gene is going to be stronger. So what Cobb does is that it actually tries to identify what are the key attributes of different type of chicken, and then they try to actually crossbreed the chick so that it allowed the chick to grow in size in the shortest possible time.
Okay, so now you're going to use...
So it's perfectly safe.
Okay, so assuming the fundraising goes as per plan and you raise the money that you need, you're going to be trying to triple processing from 80,000 birds to 240,000 birds a year.
A day.
So roughly 85 million chickens a year, yeah?
Yeah.
Where's the demand coming from?
Well, as I mentioned earlier on, very briefly, actually today, right, we actually have customers come knocking our door. We have to turn... away customer.
Okay, so it's consumption patterns?
It's consumption pattern. It's also export. Because what happened is that the reason why we are investing $550 million into the processing plant is because this European spec, right? It actually passed the BRC standard. It allowed us to actually export to Singapore, for example. So we are not only looking at the domestic market, we are also looking at export market. And the beauty of Malaysia is that we are also a halal hub. We can actually play the Middle East game.
Okay, so what I understand is that the margins for your poultry business is somewhere in the region of double-digit returns, versus a single-digit from your more traditional flour processing business. Yep. Explain where the margins come from. Is it selling prices? Are they elastic to meet rising costs, for example, like what you suffered last year?
Yeah, well, in terms of price elasticity, the live bird market is actually very elastic. Right, and today 60% of the chicken we produce still go to the live bird market because we are limited by our ability to slaughter. Hence, we wanted to increase our slaughtering capacity so that we can channel more of our chicken from the farm to the processing plant, which we can then sell to the restaurant. There is a 50% chance if you go to a fast food restaurant today, the chicken that you eat come from us, right? So we sell chicken to the big name in the fast food restaurant business. I'm not going to be able to name name, but I think you can figure out who are they. And then what is going to add value is to us is really we want to go further downstream by building our retail business, our own branding. You know, those are where the value is.
Okay, so onto your flour business, your more traditional legacy business. Now, you have, some years ago, you diversified into the region. You've got plants in the Hanoi, Indonesia, or Vietnam in Indonesia, in addition to Malaysia. You have described the Indonesian market as a very challenging one. It is deregulated. There's more than 20 players in the market today. You don't have the stranglehold that you have in Indonesia, that you have in Vietnam. What is so troubling about Indonesia?
Okay, just for context, Indonesia, we actually started operation in 2012, 2013. Like you rightly pointed out, Indonesia is a very crowded market. It has still has over 20 players for the entire Indonesia. But just for also context on what we are able to do over the short period of 5-6 years, we came from nothing without any share to about 5-6% share, which placed us at about the flip player. We are actually number 5 in Indonesia in just a short span of 5 years. And the challenge for us in 2018 for Indonesia business is really because of the currency. Because what happened is that in the flour milling business, 80-85% of our input costs are in US dollar. And if you look at the how the Indonesia rupiah moved, in Q3 of 2018, right, Indonesia rupiah actually went beyond 15,100 rupiah to US dollar. Just for context, that is actually worse than the 98 crisis, right? And what happens is that because
You are earning in rupiah, yeah? And you've only got a 30% stake, associate stake in Indonesia as a JV.
Yeah, and also just for context, because such a big portion of the cost is actually in US dollar, so naturally you are going to argue that, oh, why don't we do a price increase? But the fact is that the number one guy in Indonesia is not taking a price increase. When the number one guy who has 50% market share is not taking a price up, the rest of us will not be able to do it.
Okay, Casey, we're nearly out of time. I want to talk about your Vietnam market. You've got a stranglehold there. You're the number one market leader. You say you might invest more in Vietnam. Will you?
That's what we are exploring right now. Because what happened is Vietnam, we are actually running at between 80 to 90% capacity. So that's actually about time for us to actually look at, do we need to actually look at adding additional capacity to take advantage of a number one position in Vietnam.
Okay, so early in January, Hong Leong Investment, who is of course Hong Leong Research, who is of course the other side is your underwriters, they issued a report saying that they expect you, with your turnaround plans and your capex spending, to increase earnings from the 5 odd million ringgit from 2018 to 59 million ringgit in 2019. That's more than 10 times an increase. How realistic is this?
Well, the way I'm going to answer that question is look at our track record for 2016 and 2017. So that is actually what we have been able to do in the past. Really, 2018, it is really just an anomaly that will not happen again. Right?
So if that's the case, and your shareholders have been with you a long time, why haven't they bought this rights issue? Why haven't they given you the cash you need from them?
What happened is that if you look at the profile of our shareholding, we have over 9,000 shareholders.
Many of them retail shareholders.
Many of them retail shareholders. Probably is a function of, the share price has taken a beating. I think it's just bad timing that we do this. But then, there's no good timing to do anything, right? We did discuss whether we should do this another time. But then where we landed is that, look, there's no good time to, now is the right time. If we delay it, we don't know what's going on. The situation why the share price, or in fact the stock market, taking a beating right now is because of the broader macro situation in the world. The trade tension between US and China is actually hurting everyone, right? As we know, last week, Apple actually came out with the first ever warning earning warning, right? That's unprecedented, right? So that's hurting everyone.
Okay, well, 5 days to go before the end of your rights issue. Casey, we wish you the best luck that you need the money, that you get the money that you need, and all your dreams and hopes come true for 2019. So thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you.
We were talking to Casey Chang, the Chief Financial Officer for the flour and poultry firm, Blend Flour Mills, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Barula Bes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.